Obedient to Jim's instructions, Louisa had hung back, keeping Trueheart behind Frost as they crossed the ridge at a walk. She saw Jim 200 paces ahead. His back was turned towards her, and he was moving forward deliberately, half crouched over the weapon he carried level with his waist. For a moment she failed to see the bull. With its grey colour, it seemed to blend like smoke into the bush around him. Then she gasped as her eyes picked out its form. It seemed mountainous, and Jim was so close to the beast that she was terrified for his safety. She stopped Trueheart and watched with dreadful fascination as Jim crept closer still. She saw the bull change its position, move behind the quarry tree, and for a moment she thought it had eluded Jim's stalk. Then she saw Jim rise from his crouch and lift the long barrel of his rifle. When he aimed, the muzzle seemed to touch the bull's head, and then came the thunderous clap of the discharge, like the mainsail of the Mew filling with wind as she tacked into the storm. The blue powder smoke boiled and churned in the breeze, and the bull went down as though struck by an avalanche. Then all was shouting and commotion as Buckhut spurred forward from beside her and raced to where Jim stood, dragging Drumfire on the lead rein after him. Jim went up on Drumfire, and leaving the downed bull lying where it had fallen, he and Buckhut raced down the slope, chasing two more huge elephant that she had not noticed until that moment. Louisa let them go. Without conscious volition, she found that Trueheart had responded to a slight pressure of her knees and was walking forward towards the quarry tree behind which the bull had fallen. She did not try to stop the mare, and as they approached, her curiosity increased. She raised herself in the stirrups to see over the tree, trying to catch a glimpse of the mighty creature she had seen fall there. She was almost up to the tree when she saw a small flirt of movement, too insignificant to have been made by such a large beast. She rode closer, and this time she realized that what she had seen was a flick of the elephant's stubby tail. The clump of bristles at the end was worn and ragged as an old paintbrush. She was about to dismount and lead Trueheart forward for a better view of the carcass and the curved, magnificent yellow tusks that intrigued her. Then, to her horrified disbelief, the bull stood up. It came to its feet in one swift motion, alert and agile as though waking from a light sleep. It stood for a moment as though listening. A rivulet of bright scarlet blood poured from the wound in its temple and down its grey, wrinkled cheek. Trueheart snorted with fright and shied away. In the act of dismounting, Louisa had only one foot in the stirrup, and she was nearly thrown, but with an effort she regained her seat. The bull had heard Trueheart snort and turned towards them. Its huge ears flared out. It saw them as his tormentors. The horse and human scent filled its head, an alien odour it had never smelt before but which reeked of danger. The bull shook its head, the huge ears snapping and clattering with the strength of the movement, and it squealed its fury and affront. Blood splattered from the bullet wound and the droplets pelted into Louisa's face, warm as monsoon rain, and she screamed with all her breath and all the strength of her lungs, "Jim, save me!" The bull rolled its trunk up against its chest and half-cocked its ears back with the ends curled, the attitude of ultimate aggression. Then it charged straight at them. Trueheart wheeled away, laid her ears flat, and burst into full gallop. She seemed to take flight, to skim lightly over the rough surface, but the bull stayed close at her tail, squealing again and again with fury, a pink feather of blood blowing back from its head wound. With a burst of speed, Trueheart opened the gap, pulling ahead. But suddenly there was a hedge of thorn bush in front of her, and she was forced to check and change direction to swerve round the obstacle. The bull did not hesitate, but burst through the thorn thicket as though it did not exist, regaining all the ground it had lost. It was now closer still. With horror, Louisa saw that there was rocky ground ahead and denser thickets of thorn bush blocking their path. The bull was driving them into a trap in which even Trueheart's speed would be of little avail. Louisa remembered the small French rifle under her right leg. In her terror, she had forgotten its existence, but now she knew it was all she had to stop the bull snatching her from the saddle. She glanced back and saw that the long ophidian trunk was already reaching out for her. She drew the rifle from its leather sheath, swiveled round, and cocked the weapon in the same movement. Again she screamed involuntarily as she saw the grasping trunk waving in her face, and threw up the rifle. The enormous head filled all her vision, and she did not aim, but fired blindly into the bull's face. The light ball could never have penetrated the thick hide and the bony casket of the skull, but the bull was vulnerable in one place. By the wildest chance, the bull found that mark. It entered the eye socket at a raking angle and burst the eyeball, blinding the bull instantly on the same side of its head as the wound Jim had inflicted. The elephant reeled and staggered, losing ground on True Heart, but it recovered almost immediately and started forward again. All of Louise's attention was fastened on the task of reloading the rifle, but she had never done this on horseback at full gallop, and the gunpowder spewed from the flask and blew away in the wind. She glanced back and saw that the bull still had them in the focus of its right eye and was reaching for her again. She knew that this time it would have her. So complete was her fascination with her fate that she did not see the thicket looming ahead. True Heart swerved to avoid running full into it, and Louisa was thrown off balance, teetering in the saddle. She dropped the rifle as she clutched at the pommel. The weapon clattered on the rocky ground. Hanging half out of the saddle, she was dragged down the length of the thicket. The hooked thorns were tipped with crimson and needle-sharp. They bit into her clothing and into her flesh like myriad cat's claws. Their combined grip was irresistible, and Louisa was jerked cleanly from True Heart's back. The mare galloped on with an empty saddle, leaving Louisa dangling and struggling in the tenacious grip of the thorns. The elephant had lost sight of her on his blind side, but it smelt her. The odour of the fresh blood from the tiny wounds inflicted by the thorns was strong. It let True Heart run on unmolested and turned back. It began to search for Louisa with outstretched trunk, pushing its way into the thicket, its thick grey hide impervious to the hooked thorns, guided by the sound of Louisa's struggles and her scent. It closed in on her swiftly. She realised her danger and froze into stillness. She lay quietly in the grip of the thorns and watched with resignation as the questing tip of the trunk groped towards her. It touched her boot, then locked round her ankle. With unimaginable strength, she was torn out of the thicket, the clinging thorns breaking off in the folds of her clothing or in her skin. She hung upside down, dangling by one leg from the trunk of the elephant. Its grip on her ankle tightened, and she feared that at any moment the bone would crush to splinters. From all Jim had told her, she knew what would happen next. The bull would lift her high in the air, and then, with all its monstrous power, would dash her head first against the rocky ground. It would beat her against the earth again and again until almost every bone in her body was shattered, and then it would kneel on her and crush her to pulp, driving the points of its tusks through and through.